This episode brought to you by 20th Century Studios' Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Director Wes Ball breathes new life into the epic franchise. As a ruthless king attempts to build his empire at the expense of the remaining human race, a young ape begins a journey to fight for a future for apes and humans alike. Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Enter the kingdom in IMAX on May 10th and theaters everywhere. Get tickets now.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets. If you don't win your first bet, that's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
You know our trusted partner, TireRack.com, for their fast, free shipping, free road hazard protection, convenient installation options, and their great selection of the best tires, like the highly consumer-rated Bridgestone Weatherpeak. But did you know they sell other automotive products? Wheels, brakes, and suspension, just to name a few. Everything you need to elevate your drive. You can go to TireRack.com/Dan. That's TireRack.com/Dan. TireRack.com, the way tire buying should be.
You are listening to The Dan Patrick Show on Fox Sports Radio.
Hour two on this Thursday. Dan and the Danettes, Dan Patrick Show. It's going to be busy this hour. Former Syracuse head coach Jim Boeheim on how to stop Connecticut. Also, are we looking at something that I talked about a few years ago where we could have relegation in college football, where we take 50 or 60 of the best programs and they secede from the union, from the NCAA? That's being discussed. We'll have more on that coming up here in a moment. 877-3DP-SHOW. Email address dp@danpatrick.com. Twitter handle @DPShow. Stat of the day brought to you by Panini America, the official trading cards of the Dan Patrick Show. Poll question, Seton, from hour one, and what are we going to go with hour two?
Yeah, well, we've got our matchup for the day, a fish sandwich, sort of like a cod sandwich, okay. I guess, right? Which is great. Okay. I feel like it's going to get smoked just because it doesn't have a good name.
Okay.
But we're putting that up against a Nashville hot chicken sandwich.
Oh, boy. Oh.
Results pending on that.
Yeah.
More likely to go to the Super Bowl, Cowboys or Texans?
Okay. I love this question.
It's the best.
Yeah.
Right now, 89% of the audience say the Texans. It's just delicious.
Yeah.
Delicious.
No recency bias there, right? No recency bias.
Or just pure Cowboys hate.
The Texans acquiring Stephon Diggs. We talked a lot about that in the first hour of the program. And the odds for the Texans as far as going to the Super Bowl, now 1,600 to win the Super Bowl. They were plus 2,500 before the trade for Stephon Diggs. They are all in. If you said which Texas team was more all in the offseason, that's not a contest either. The Texans. You know, Danielle Hunter is going to get you at least 10 sacks. Joe Mixon, catch the ball out of the backfield. And now you bring in Stephon Diggs, a team that won 10 games and, you know, threatened the Ravens in their playoff loss. So it's interesting. Interesting how that is being built in Texas. And the fact that you have a second-year quarterback, you have that rookie deal, your coach is in his second year, D'Amico Ryans, and they look like they are for real. All righty, we'll get phone calls coming up. And the college football story, this was in The Athletic. Stuart Mandel and Andrew Marchand had the story. Now, Andrew is a sports media guy. He covers the TV aspect of this. So I'm guessing that his source came from the TV side of this, saying this is what we're thinking about. This is the possibility that we're going to have this new league. Now, I don't know if it's, I mean, even this 12-14 team playoff, that might not last very long. It's changing that quickly in college football, that you might have 50 or 60 of the best schools, and there will be relegation. Where did we hear that before? I've been saying this a long time. How about relegation? That would be fun. So it's a big story, or at least the potential for being a big story. And Andrew Marchand back on the program. He works for The Athletic, senior writer covering sports media. All right. Recap this. How did we get to this point? And what is there a time frame that you have learned?
So really, everything that's going on with college football and college athletics is why we're here, especially the idea of the lawsuits that are coming. You know, I think people have been, you know, very aware of NIL and the transfer portal and what's that done to college sports. But there are some cases that are out there that probably do not look good for the colleges that they might settle that could be for billions of dollars. So how do they get from where they are now to where they need to be, where it seems pretty obvious that they're going to have to pay players, at least in some regard. And so how do you get there? How do you pay for everything? And so, you know, I talked to the heads of the presidents of Syracuse, West Virginia. They're behind this Super League group, which calls itself College Sports Tomorrow. And, you know, they think that it's doomed what's going on with college sports right now and college football. And so they need a new system.
Who's driving this?
Len Perna is a guy who he places all the coaches, all the athletic directors and some of the presidents around the country, like basically all the major conferences. So that's his connection to college football. He started this group about 3 years ago to try to examine, find solutions for college sports. The interesting part is Brian Rolapp, who is the number two at the NFL, who may not be as a familiar name to people just listening, but in the business is a humongous name, number two to Roger Goodell. If Goodell ever retires, he'd definitely be at the top of the list to be the next commissioner of the NFL. Very smart guy behind the $110 billion deals that the networks have done. He's one person. David Blitzer, who owns the 76ers and the Devils and teams around the world, he's also involved, and there's more people, including MLS, the former MLS president, and so they put all these ideas into one and got into this format that they think would be the best for college football, and in their mind would reward the top schools, the Alabamas, the Notre Dames, etc., with the money they deserve. So it wouldn't be a revenue share, but all the universities would own it, kind of like the MLS model, which if you're not familiar with, the MLS, you don't own the team, you own a percentage of the league. So they're all one entity, and they think there's advantages to that as well.
Feels like the SEC and Big Ten have been toying with this merger, or I mean, I don't know, acquiring teams. Are they leading the charge on this, that you got to have those two conferences at the head of the class?
Yeah, so here's the thing. The SEC and the Big Ten have formed an alliance that they're looking into, an advisory group. They're the ones with the power. So when you look at our story and we lay it out, there's a couple people where the power centers are. Number one is those two conferences, the Big Ten and the SEC, because they have the most important teams. And they're both aligned with major networks, the SEC with ESPN, and then the Big Ten with Fox, and they also have deals with NBC and CBS, but the big one is with Fox. So Fox and ESPN have a lot of power and they have long-term contracts. And so you look at it, it's those conferences, Notre Dame and NBC, they're probably the ones who can decide where college football ends up, and they just signed the new CFP. I first got wind of this when the CFP was kind of coming down and ESPN had an agreement in place, and people were asking me if, you know, have you heard about the Perna Rolapp group? And so, you know, we started looking into it deeply, and this is what we came up with, and then they went on the record. So that made the story, and talked about the issues that are facing college sports.
How many teams, how many schools are we looking at?
So if they were successful, it'd be all of the schools in the FBS, so all 130-plus schools. But how it would work is there'd be a top 70 schools, which are pretty easy to figure out. If you look at the former Power Five, they come up to 68 schools. You add Notre Dame, and then SMU is just added to the ACC. So that's how you get to 70. Those 70 teams would be in seven divisions of 10 teams. then you'd have an eighth division, which the with the second division would be eligible to get into. So 10 teams from that second division would move up. Not I don't know how it would work each year, but you'd have promotion and relegation, which makes a lot of sense and actually would create a lot of excitement. I mean, I think if you look at their overall plan, if you started today and you compared it to what college football looks like now, it makes more sense on almost in every way in terms of the structure, you're deciding things on the field, in terms of the smaller schools being able to move up, in terms of their economic model. The problem is that they don't really have any, they have powerful people. They don't necessarily have power in college football to make things, to make change happen. But do I think their ideas could happen over the next 5 to 7 years? Yeah, I do. I think there's a very good likelihood that some of their ideas do occur.
Will this affect college basketball?
So their goal is first to solve college football and then move on to college basketball and other sports. You know, the issue is with these cases aren't just football cases necessarily, right? Obviously, football is the biggest revenue driver at the bigger schools that have, but, you know, the argument is not is that all these athletes, you know, should be paid in some regards. Yes, I think basketball would be next, but football is the one making billions and billions. If they can figure out football, then the other ones should fall into place. And their also point is that to have the Olympic sports, to have all the other sports that aren't revenue generating, you need to make this a success and so you could go forward.
Good stuff. Thank you, Andrew.
Thank you.
Andrew Marchand, Athletic senior writer covering sports media. Stuart Mandel was also part of this, but just something to file away. I feel like we've been headed this way. I felt this for the last 3 or 4 years, and throw in relegation that I've been in favor of for a long time. And all right, I'm not surprised. I'm just curious the time frame. It's not like college football's broken. I saw where somebody said, oh, this will fix college football. All right, we're going to 12 playoff teams. That seems pretty exciting. Doesn't seem like saving it. You know?
I don't know if college football needs saving.
Yeah.
You know, it might need some fixing. It might need to be redone a little bit, but it sure. I don't know that it's going to evaporate if all of this doesn't happen.
Yeah. Going to save college football. All right. At the end of last hour, we stumbled upon something where I had the audacity to say Patrick Mahomes might be the Michael Jordan of the NFL from the standpoint of all the great quarterbacks who won't win Super Bowls because they have to compete with Patrick Mahomes, just like Michael Jordan. And I mentioned Barkley and Patrick Ewing and Karl Malone and John Stockton, just to name a few, didn't win titles because they had to deal with Mike. And we had Andrew in Santa Monica who called up and said that I triggered something from 20 years ago, that Magic is the GOAT, not Michael Jordan, and these teams had to go through Magic and the Lakers. Well, Karl Malone and John Stockton played in two NBA finals, and who beat them? Not Magic Johnson, it was Michael Jordan. And then I said, Andrew in Santa Monica said, well, Magic came in, went to an NBA, won an NBA championship. Didn't have Kareem for that game six. Absolutely true. But he did come in a season where Kareem was the MVP of the league, and the 76ers, with Moses Malone and Dr. J, swept the Lakers, I believe, in 1983. And I said, go back and look at the roster that Michael Jordan had those first 7 years that it was pointed out he didn't win any titles, which is true. He did not. And I said, let's compare Magic's team to Mike's team. The first 7 years of Magic's career to the first 7 years of Michael's career. Paulie, could you give me the roster when the Bulls went to the Boston Garden in the playoffs with Michael, and Mike scored 63.
Okay, so this would have been in the fall of 86. Michael Jordan's second year in the league. That's the year he broke his foot and then came back in the playoffs. Okay.
Yep.
So we're looking at April 20th, 1986. I'll give you the roster of the Celtics first. Here's their starting lineup. Larry Bird, Kevin McHale, Dennis Johnson, Robert Parrish, Danny Ainge, and Bill Walton off the bench.
Yeah, Walton was sixth man of the year. It's one of the greatest lineups in the greatest front court lineup in the history of the NBA.
Is the only non Hall of Famer Danny Ainge in the seven names?
Yes.
Okay. The Bulls starting lineup for that game was Orlando Woolridge. Okay. Pretty decent player. Michael Jordan, perhaps. Dave Corzine running the post. Charles Oakley, Kyle Macy, John Paxson, Gene Banks, Sidney Green, Mike Schmreck.
Okay.
And they That's where Jordan had 63 points.
Yeah. I'm guessing if you looked at Magic's first 7 years, his lineup probably a lot better than Michael Jordan's. Probably so. So if you're going to say Magic's the GOAT, well, and look, Magic, I've said before, he could have scored 27, 28 points a game. His job was not, he could dominate a game without scoring. Jordan was a highlight, but Mike had to be a highlight. He had to score because those teams weren't good. Not good at all. Yeah, Paul.
Magic Johnson's second year in the league, his lineup was himself, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, Norm Nixon, Jamal Wilkes, Michael Cooper, etc.
Yeah. I mean, that's a pretty good lineup.
And they followed that up his James third year Worthy. By adding James Worthy.
Yeah, James Worthy.
Somehow.
Yeah. Yeah, Marv.
How in the blue hell did the Lakers get the number one pick in the draft the year after winning the NBA title to get James Worthy? You just add on to Murderer's Row?
Yeah.
That's almost like Len Bias. He was the second pick in the draft after the 86 season. How did Jerry West and Red Auerbach even pull that off?
And Jerry West going into the Hall of Fame, this is the third induction for him. Do you have the trade, Paulie?
Yeah, the Cleveland Cavaliers traded their 1982 first-round draft pick to Lakers, along with guard Butch Lee, in exchange for a forward Don Ford and an 80 first-round draft pick. So they wanted a pick an 80. That pick turned out to be James Worthy that they got.
Well, Wes in Illinois. Hi, Wes. What's on your mind?
Hi. Still claiming 6 foot, 185, 70 years old. I just wanted to call and give a shout out to Andrew. That oratorical splendor of that call was something to behold. The way he took Irvin, Magic, Johnson, and fired it like a bullet into your brain was just unbelievable. Didn't come close to changing my mind, but still.
No. Look, I don't have anything against Magic. He's a great player, but it's Magic and Bird together. That's all. They're together. Magic is a wonderful player, great resume. If I put him on the Bulls, is he leading the Bulls? If I put Mike on the Lakers, do you think the Lakers are winning with Michael Jordan? I'm going to say yes. Go out on a limb and say yes. You put him with that roster? Probably so. Luciano in Brooklyn. Hey, what's up?
Morning, Capo. How are you?
All right.
Marvin Peace King, what up, son? And, of course, to the good fellas, Todd Seaton, and the linchpin of the whole thing, that scrappy and sometimes extremely abrasive son of a bitch, Paulie P. What's it about, baby?
That's too far.
All right, Capo, so I'm triggered now, too. And I got to tell you, Andrew in L.A., you're killing me, Smalls. Listen, this is what I'm going to say. Four times in NBA history has this feat been done, and only been done by one player. Well, somebody won the scoring title, league MVP, first team all NBA, first team all defense, won the finals, and was the finals MVP. You know who that was? Michael Jeffrey Jordan.
Thank you, Luciano. Yeah, I didn't think I would be arguing Magic and Michael today. I didn't.
We're going to need Andrew to call back in, I think, at some point.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it's just a different situation in what players were asked to do. Different players. But Magic's a great player. Obviously one of the top 10 players of all time.
Where do you have him there? Is he, what, four?
I don't know. I'd have to look. But Bird and Magic are together. Whatever number it is, if they're seven, then they're together. Not one is six, one is seven, or one is seven, one is eight. They're together. Yes, Mark.
And my point is proven right there because Michael Jordan has no equals. Magic Johnson does. And Larry Bird.
Okay.
Since they're together?
They were different players, though.
No, I know, but you said you have to put Magic and Bird together.
Yes.
Michael doesn't have an equal.
No.
So Mike's the greatest ever.
Okay.
Mike before the rings, you two Michael Jordan in 1989. Watch what he was doing.
Okay. Are you triggered?
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Yeah. I love you. It's what?
I love Marvin telling us to watch Michael Jordan
in
the 80s when he didn't watch Michael Jordan in the 80s, but he's watched a ton of YouTube of him in the 80s. It's very funny.
All right.
That's one of the only times that guys our age get to do that, by the way.
Yes.
You didn't actually see Jordan because we didn't see anybody play. Right. We spent all day debating their greatness. Yeah. But I actually watched Jordan, okay? Thanks.
I covered Michael Jordan, by the way.
You did?
Yeah.
Oh, that's crazy.
Yeah, yeah. The number of people who say they were there covering Michael, I don't remember a few of them.
Because you were there.
I was there. I was there. Do I bring Boeheim into this conversation, this discussion?
Without question.
Yeah, all right. Take a break. More phone calls coming up. Back after this.
Be sure to catch the live edition of the Dan Patrick Show weekdays at 9 a.m. Eastern, 6 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Hey, it's me, Rob Parker. Check out my weekly MLB podcast, Inside the Parker, for 22 minutes of piping hot baseball talk featuring the biggest names and newsmakers in the sport. Whether you believe in analytics or the eye test, we've got all the bases covered. New episodes drop every Thursday, so do yourself a favor and listen to Inside the Parker with Rob Parker on the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcast.
Well, it's halftime, and the scoreboard's not looking good. You're feeling low. You're not sure you can pull out the win, but that's when you dig deep. Lift your head up. You say to yourself, time to get back in the game. Pull off some bank heists. Take as much of your friend's money as you possibly can.
See, and that's right. The smash hit mobile game Monopoly Go lets you compete with your friends to get the most riches and the biggest empire. It's the Monopoly you love, but on your phone, anytime, with tons of new twists, including leaderboards to compare your progress to your buddies. There's so much to do.
Yeah, you could play countless dynamic Monopoly boards. You can make your friends bankrupt by smashing their landmarks with a wrecking ball. That's new. I don't remember that from the old Monopoly game, but it sounds awesome. And you can charge players rent for your iconic properties. Great.
You can even work with your friends to crack open community chests and in tournaments to get extra rewards and climb the leaderboard. I'm in for sure.
So get out there, put on your game face, download Monopoly Go right now for free at the App Store or Google Play. Let's go.
It is getting that time of the year. It's Miller time. You don't need a watch or a clock to tell you. It's Miller time. Weather gets a little bit warmer. All of a sudden, the beer gets a little colder.
It's beer cracking season.
Okay. I don't know if it says that on the calendar. It's a beer that strips away everything you don't need and holds on to what matters the most. It's a light beer that tastes like beer. That's why I reach for a Miller Lite. And it's less filling, only 96 calories. They've been doing this since 1975. They have perfected it. You know, that summer afternoon, we're coming into that time of the year, be like, oh, man.
Crack one?
Yes, or two. Don't look at your watch. Don't look at the clock. Don't look at the calendar. You know. Miller Lite, the great taste, less filling, tastes like Miller time. To get Miller Lite delivered right to your door, visit MillerLite.com/Patrick, or you can pretty much find it anywhere that sells beer. Celebrate responsibly. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. 96 calories per 12 ounces, fewer calories, fewer carbs than premium regular beer. Miller Lite.
This episode brought to you by 20th Century Studios' Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Director Wes Ball breathes new life into the epic franchise, set several generations after the last installment, in which apes are the dominant species. As a ruthless king attempts to build his empire at the expense of the remaining human race, a young ape will fight for the future of apes and humans alike and embark on a journey that will redefine the planet. Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Enter the kingdom in IMAX on May 10th and in theaters everywhere. Get tickets now.
Our next guest, the former Syracuse head coach who was leading the Celebrity Bracket Challenge. And Jim Boeheim has Purdue and UConn in the finals, with Purdue winning it all. His Final Four, he had NC State going to the Final Four. Man, I'm gaining so much more respect for you in retirement. Congratulations, coach. You're leading the Celebrity Bracket Challenge.
I don't know if I should be in the celebrity bracket. I should be in the expert category, shouldn't I?
Really? Emeritus. Yes, absolutely.
Yeah. And also Michael Jordan. Okay. Let's not argue about that.
Okay. The best. let me bring this up because you faced him, 1983, yes, when he was at North Carolina?
Yeah.
Okay. What do you remember about Jordan in 83?
Well, we held him to 12 points. They beat us by 30, but we
great job.
I think Brad Daugherty had 25 and Sam Perkins 20, you know, Kenny Smith 15. But, you know, they were so good. They had so many weapons that he didn't, you know, some games he just got 12. But, he's the best I've ever seen. I saw him when he was in high school, saw his progress and, you know, what he did. I think LeBron's moved all the way up to second in my mind, but Michael Jordan was clearly the best player I've ever seen. I mean, he just was great on both ends, and, you know, he just didn't want, he was not going to lose. Kobe was a lot like Michael in that way. He was kind of a mini Michael Jordan. He just not quite there. And interestingly, I saw a kid a couple years ago, probably four now, that I said, that guy's like Michael Jordan. And I saw him in the summer when he was a junior in high school. His name's Anthony Edwards.
Yeah.
And now he's almost coming into that category. Not yet, of course. But he's the only guy I've seen that since Michael Jordan who I thought is kind of like Michael Jordan. But the reason I'm winning all my pools, I won a couple other ones too, is I picked the ACC, which was the best conference in the country. Again, in spite of the numbers that people go by that get six Mountain West teams in the tournament and nine or whatever teams from the Big 12 because they know how to schedule and they get their net built up.
Why aren't you on the committee?
Because I'm a coach and they think they're much smarter than I am. So, you know, they need somebody to help them, because the other thing they eliminated and was the last 10 games, which I agreed with a little bit. You don't want to go just by the last 10, but you certainly want to count the last 10 more than the first 10, which are usually easy non-conference games. And if you looked at Pittsburgh, Seton Hall, Indiana State, and St. John's, at the end of the year, they were just playing way better. Wasn't even close.
Yeah.
And the fact that they're in the finals of the NIT, I'm not even going by that. But they were teams should have been in. Now, here's the real interesting thing. Five bid stealers came up this year. So those four or five teams got pushed out, which means they were really good enough to get in the tournament, right, into the bid stealers. So that's why I advocate for an expansion of eight teams. Just go to another site like Dayton, play that 15 against 10, whatever you want, however you want to do it, and get those eight teams who there's going to be some that were really legitimately would have been in the tournament except for the bid stealers. And then you add a couple more. And, are you going to have somebody not in there? But you don't dilute the tournament. You don't cheapen the tournament. I remember when I was at 24, Coach Wooden said, no expansion, this is perfect. You know, and he was pretty smart, but obviously we went to 48, tournament was great. We went to 64, great. 68, great. Tournament's great. Everything is screwed up in college basketball right now, everything, except for the games on the court. They're good. Somehow, miracle, they're still good. The fact that we're in the off season and starters are transferring.
Yeah.
Five starters from one school transfer, and they had a good coach. What are they doing that for? Money. They're going for money, which, all right, that's good. You want that? You're an advocate of that. Players should get $300,000-$400,000. Okay. I'm okay with that, but it's every year you reshape your roster. I've had 10, 15 fans tell me, we don't even know who's going to be here. How can we? Well, I said, you just got to wait till next year, follow the team. If they're good, you'll go. You know, that's the way fans are. If they're not good, they won't go. But if they're good, they'll go. But it's just the way it is. And I don't see anything that can possibly change that. There's NILs here. Even if you had employees, even whatever, you're still going to have NIL because you got to get the players to your school.
Put your coaching hat on. Where is UConn vulnerable?
I've said this from the beginning. They're not quite as good as they were last year, but they're still the best team. So maybe they're a little bit, I think Purdue's better by far than they were last year. I think I think Alabama is good. I think that NC State is a threat to anybody. I picked them to go to the Final Four because I watched them play in the ACC tournament. And it was obvious to me this is now they're also beating Marquette by a number, Duke by a number now. They're not squeezing by. They're beating them convincingly. I mean, I still like Purdue over them, but I would not be surprised if NC State won. Just remember, 9 games ago, they were going to fire the coach at North Carolina State. And it's a magical turnaround, a lot because of Michael O'Connell going into the starting lineup, changed their whole dynamic, the way they play. And, of course, Burns is a star. He's a unique player.
Could he play in the NBA, today's NBA?
It'd be hard. He has to get a rest every 3 or 4 minutes. I mean, if he wants to, they say 280, yeah, he's got to put the other foot on the scale first before he gets to his weight. I think he's probably 340. He'd have to lose 50, 60 pounds. And then, yeah, he's like Zach Randolph a lot.
Yeah.
He's a very similar player, but he's got to dedicate himself to getting his body ready for the NBA. It's a much faster paced game.
How many times did you face a team and you said, we don't have a chance?
Well, I said that a few times, but we end up winning some of them. when Patrick Ewing was there, you know, Michael Graham, those guys, we beat them. We beat them a couple times when Patrick was there, a few. But he was a hard guy, you know, when you went against him. But other than that, I always thought there's always a chance. You always feel you have a chance. And even with Patrick, as much as I doubted it, we beat him a few times. It's not easy. But coaches and players always think there's a way. And that's all NC State's done. They believe they had to go through a good – Syracuse had beat them twice. They had to go through them. They had to go through Duke and they had to go through Carolina. You know what's funny? I watched all 5 games. They had more trouble with Louisville. That's how – you know, everybody said our league was bad. Louisville almost beat NC State in the tournament, the first game. They had a really good chance to beat them. And, you know, you look at the leagues and it's just criminal that we're going by the net rating. It's just bogus. It's just completely bogus. And good teams are getting left out. I have no doubt Seton Hall or St. John's could have won 2 or 3 games in this tournament.
True.
Just from watching them play.
Yeah.
So in the old days, you left out a team, the team wasn't going to win anyway. Now college basketball is really good. And you're leaving teams out that could win games. And I think that's a big mistake. So it's correctable. You just play another Dayton. That's all it is.
Yeah.
I heard one committee member told me, well, we won't get any more money for that. So what? You're getting $1 billion. You know, and if you play a tournament like that in another city, you'll make money on that. Not a lot, but you'll sell out if it's a good – you know, good four. There'll be a good 8 teams there because you'll have 15 and 10.
Talking to Jim Boeheim, he's leading the celebrity bracket challenge. He's got Purdue against Connecticut for the title. Would you allow Caitlin Clark, if you were her coach, to shoot the way she shoots?
And further back if she wants.
There's no bad shot then for her.
He's like Steph Curry. Do you think Steve Kerr ever tells Steph Curry, hey, Steph, don't take that shot?
No. I think maybe 10 years ago he did.
No, I doubt it. I think Steph Curry's been on a roll for at least 7 or 8 years.
No, but I think initially he was like, those seem like crazy shots.
He's the only one that I've seen other than Steph Curry that can do that. She's incredible. She's the best player to watch. I've said this all year. She's the best player to watch playing basketball other than Steph Curry, in my mind. I mean, I drove to Albany to see her. I've never done that. You know, the last time I drove someplace to see a player was Pete Maravich in the NIT. That was when I was 21. That was 50 years ago. So she's that good. She's just an amazing passer.
Yeah.
Probably one of the most creative passers I've ever seen, along with the Magic Johnson, that type of passer. She makes long, short, pass, bounce pass. I mean, incredible passes. And her teammates have been really good. They catch him and they finish. I mean, they've done a really good job with her. I mean, I think LSU is 20 points better than Iowa, but she wasn't going to let that happen. There's a reason 12 million people are watching ESPN for a game. If that game was on CBS, they probably would have had 25, 30 million people watching that game.
And I can't give you much credit. You're driving from Syracuse to Albany. I mean, that's not like cross country, coach. I mean,
no, it's 2 hours.
Come on, you're better than that.
But it's I used it as an example that I've never gone to see anybody except Pete Maravich.
Okay, so, I want to leave you with this. I've been trying to get Christian Laettner in the Basketball Hall of Fame. Why is Laettner not in the Basketball Hall of Fame?
Because he did nothing, not really much in the NBA.
Yeah, but he's one of the 10 greatest college players of all time. Yeah.
And there's some great college coaches
that
are not in the Hall of Fame. It's more slated to the professional NBA. It is. I mean, that's okay. But, yeah, you have a good point. There's some great high school coaches that are not in. They've made it a little bit more inclusive, but it's still, I agree, there's some college players. Christian Laettner's one that you could really deem worthy of being in the Hall of Fame. By the way, am I way ahead in the brackets? Because
You're dumb. Did you offer Laettner a scholarship at Syracuse?
I did. He came to see us play Georgetown. We had 35,000 people there. We won the game. He was at the game. His quote, which I never heard at the time, "This is crazy. I can't come here."
Why?
I don't know. I don't know. I'm sure there's other reasons he went to Duke, but that's what he did say on his visit. And, you know, he's a great player.
Well,
and
they probably offered him more money than Syracuse did.
No, I don't think.
You don't think so?
I think Bobby Hurley said, "No, I'll pass you the ball all the time. If you go to Syracuse, that guard there won't pass you the ball. Sherman Douglas won't pass you the ball."
No, Sherm's going to be shooting. Well, congrats on the brackets there. And good luck. It's Purdue beating UConn in the national title game. Thank you, Coach. Great to talk to you.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
And that's Jim Boeheim, former Syracuse head coach. 47 years there. I like that. Hey, we held Michael Jordan to 12. We lost by 30, but I held him to 12. And these guys have, you know, memories like elephants. I mean, they remember everything, everything. I got the starting lineup and who had what and all of that good stuff. All right. We'll come back, and we'll give you a chance again. More phone calls coming up after this.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
Well, it's halftime, and the scoreboard's not looking good. You're feeling low. You're not sure you can pull out the win. But that's when you dig deep. Lift your head up. You say to yourself, time to get back in the game. Pull off some bank heists. Take as much of your friend's money as you possibly can.
See, and that's right. The smash hit mobile game Monopoly Go lets you compete with your friends to get the most riches and the biggest empire. It's the Monopoly you love, but on your phone, anytime, with tons of new twists, including leaderboards to compare your progress to your buddies. There's so much to do.
Yeah, you could play countless dynamic Monopoly boards. You can make your friends bankrupt by smashing their landmarks with a wrecking ball. That's new. I don't remember that from the old Monopoly game, but it sounds awesome. And you can charge players rent for your iconic properties. Great.
You can even work with your friends to crack open community chests and in tournaments to get extra rewards and climb the leaderboard. I'm in for sure.
So get out there, put on your game face, download Monopoly Go right now for free at the App Store or Google Play. Let's go.
This episode brought to you by 20th Century Studios' Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Director Wes Ball breathes new life into the epic franchise, set several generations after the last installment, in which apes are the dominant species. As a ruthless king attempts to build his empire at the expense of the remaining human race, a young ape will fight for the future of apes and humans alike and embark on a journey that will redefine the planet. Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Enter the kingdom in IMAX on May 10th and in theaters everywhere. Get tickets now.
Sound the trumpets. It's horse racing time, so saddle up for all the action with DK Horse, an official DraftKings affiliate. Right now, new customers who download the DK Horse app get a 100% deposit bonus up to $250. Just deposit $25 or more and complete the playthrough requirement. Wager on your favorite horses. Then watch the races live right there on the app. Download the DK Horse app now. New customers get a 100% deposit bonus up to $250 when they opt in with the code DP. Only on the DK Horse app.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 18 plus, 21 plus in certain states to open or access an account and a resident of a state where DK Horse is available. Eligibility restrictions apply. Void where prohibited. One per new customer. Match calculated on first deposit up to a maximum of $250. Deposit requires two-time playthrough of settled wagers within 168 hours. Bonus released in $25 increments. Deposit and eligibility restrictions apply. See terms at dkhorse.com.
It's amazing what bothers a sports fan. What triggers something? How dare you? How dare you? And be like, I love Magic. Michael is a better player. Mike's one of the top five defensive players of all time. And one of the top two or three offensive players of all time. So if I do factor that stuff in, it's pretty tough. Pretty tough to argue. He won 10 scoring titles. He was all defense 9 times. He's going into the Hall of Fame for either one of those categories. And it's like you look at, you know, Gretzky with his goal scoring and then you throw in his assist. That's what Mike was offensively and defensively. Magic was a wonderful player. Change the game, big men playing point guard, all of those things. And that's why I hate getting into these arguments, because then it feels like, well, let me criticize Magic, and I don't want to do that. Mike was the greatest player I saw, and I've seen everybody. The only person, as I've said before, Bill Russell. I never saw Bill Russell play in person. Saw them all, and Mike's the greatest player I ever saw. It's one of those where players feared him. Yeah, Paul.
I had a little thing last night. I saw that Vince Carter got into the Hall of Fame. Like, oh, that's great. Awesome. Makes sense. And I saw some people on social media, including reporters and NBA type people, like, I'm a little surprised Vince Carter got in. I mean, you could make the case that his career had two different paths and maybe wasn't the greatest player in the league.
Yeah, but he went from the greatest dunker to one of the greatest three-point shooters in history.
He was a 9-time All-Star. 9 of his first 10 years, he was an All-Star.
Yeah. Vince Carter is a Hall of Famer.
I was actually bothered by people poo-pooing his Hall of Fame.
How dare you?
How dare they?
The impact he had on Canada, on Canadian basketball, they did a documentary on it. I mean, he could go in as a contributor. You know, he was impactful. And he was a wonderful player. And I don't, you know, want to bring Chauncey Billups down. I just didn't think Chauncey Billups, and I thought immediately Hall of Famer. Do we have any numbers on Chauncey Billups?
Yeah, Chauncey Billups, his career started, you know, he went Boston, Denver, Minnesota. It kind of was a slow burn. But then he got to Detroit at age 26, and he went to 5 straight All-Star games.
Okay.
And then he also got, the big one is, they won the title, and he was MVP at the finals.
Okay.
That's a huge chip for your case.
Okay. I mean, he wasn't a great college player. I mean, he played at Colorado, right? There was nothing that stood out. I don't know if his team did anything in the tournament. And he bounced around to a couple of teams. I mean, he's a really good player. I just didn't think Hall of Famer. No, I didn't. But, hey, congrats. Basketball Hall of Fame, a little more lenient, I think, than the other halls of fame. And that's fine. I mean, I love celebrating the game. It just sometimes when somebody says, hey, I'm going to say this name, and you say Hall of Famer or not. And that is usually what it comes down to. Unless you do a deep dive and you, gosh, on further, you know, review, man, this guy, you know, there were some things I learned about him. Let me see. Mo in Arizona. Hi, Mo. Welcome back.
Dan.
Hey, man.
All right. I'll concede, Jordan probably is the best player. Okay, he's the best player. But Magic was the best team player. I mean, Jordan only threw, like, 2 passes that you can think of in your life. I mean, Magic had rookie game Kareem's not there. 42 points, 15 rebounds, 7 assists. I mean, that's pretty good. But I will concede that he's the best player, but Magic is the best team player.
Okay. And one thing, no, the best team player of all time is Bill Russell. That's you can't argue with that. Best team player is Bill Russell. Magic, best passer I've ever seen. And he improved his shot. He had a set shot. But he could have scored because you had a mismatch going into every game because he's 6'9", and how big is your guard? Who's guarding him? Let me see. Mel in Santa Clarita. Hey, Mel.
Hey, good morning, gentlemen. Thanks morning. For taking my call.
Yep.
So I'm not quite sure why Kareem always gets overlooked by not just y'all, but just everybody in general as far as greatest
player. No, we talked about it, Mel. He missed the TV era, and that's the problem, I think, with Kareem. But, you know, Magic did have one of the top five players of all time on his team as well, and nobody knew that Scottie Pippen was going to be great. But back to whatever you were saying, Mel.
If we're talking about just strictly on resume, though, I don't think there's anybody with a greater resume than Kareem as far as the high school level, collegiate level, and professional
sure.
level. I mean, he's literally won championships at every single stage of his career.
Yeah, I'm not arguing that. Look, I've said to Kareem that I thought he was underrated. He thinks he's the best player of all time, and he said that. But he said, look, you know, Michael, everything about him, you know, it's modern day. People don't, and Kareem wasn't good with the media. You know, there was no shoe campaign. You know, there was none of that. He was just a nuts and bolts great player with an unbelievable shot that no one's ever been able to replicate. So you get no argument out of Magic or Kareem. I recognize their greatness. Ezekiel in Rhode Island. Hey, Zeke, what's on your mind?
Hey, how's it going, Dan Patrick?
Good, Zeke.
6 foot, solid, 198.
All right.
So I had a couple things for you. First thing I just want to say, it's been awesome watching your show over the last year. I love all you guys, and I think you guys blow ESPN out of the water.
Well, thank you, Zach.
My first thing was a poll question. I recently grew a mustache, and I think mustaches are coming back. So I was curious if you guys could put up a poll and see if mustaches are on the comeback.
All righty. Thank you, Zeke. Once again, I didn't think we'd be talking about that today, but that's what I love about this show. I am not a mustache guy. I think I tried it once and didn't look good. Paulie did a Dale Earnhardt Sr. mustache.
I've done it about 4 times in the past 10 years.
Yeah.
But it's. I don't think mustaches will be universal, where more than men than don't. It's more like ironic and kitschy.
Yeah, Marv.
Paulie, does your wife like the mustache?
Not really.
Todd, have you had a mustache?
Briefly, but it was just because I didn't want to shave for a while, and it was more laziness than wanting to have some kind of look. But you've had a mustache in a number of your movie roles.
Well, yeah, but Sandler thinks that's funny. That he wants me to be a police officer, and police officer, you know, Irish ones wear mustaches. Seton, you had a, or do you have a mustache?
Not really.
Okay.
No, both to those. Not really can't, not really have.
Yeah. Because I didn't want to disrespect what you have and say, never had a mustache?
I've lived with it my whole life. I know.
Mm-hmm.
I know.
More phone calls coming up. By the way, it's chicken sandwich versus fish sandwich as we narrow it down to the final fork for tomorrow in championship weekend. Final hour on the way. Fritzy, Seton, Marv, Paulie, yours truly.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
It's Freddie Prinz Jr. and Jeff Dye back in the ring. Wrestling with Freddie makes its triumphant return for an electrifying fourth season. Hey, Jeff.
Are you ready to rumble our way into an all-new season of Wrestling with Freddy?
You better believe I have. I've been practicing my body slams, and I'm jacked.
All right, don't go injuring yourself now. We'll be highlighting the best stories and matches of the week in wrestling from AEW, WWE, and have one-on-one talks with the best talents in the world of pro wrestling.
Listen to Wrestling with Freddy on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Elevation with Stephen Furtick podcast was created with you in mind. This is a podcast for those feeling discouraged or needing guidance from God. Together in this podcast, we'll dive deep into scripture, uncover the powerful truths that will help you rise above your limitations and embrace your full potential. We're here to equip you with the tools you need to conquer life's challenges. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.